Another day, another dollar as a holler to the world. I love the way I'm living, love the Gucci, love the girls. Love the parties and the clubs, love the models and hot tubs. Love the German engineers set on deep dish dubs. Another tour around the world, entertaining the fans. I love walking through the airport, taking pictures, shaking hands. Every day for me's an oyster, crack it open, find a pearl. I love the way I'm living, is what I holler to the world.
Welcome back to Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze.
I'm MVP, but only on Wednesdays, sometimes Saturdays. A long time ago, it used to be Thursdays. But, I guess right now on a Monday as well. I've told you this once, but I'm going to tell you this again because we have a lot of new visitors. The premise of this show is to discuss wrestling, where my friend, who is a massive fan of professional wrestling, gets to ask me questions about my career, about why wrestlers do the things we do, certain things about the business, et cetera, et cetera. He gets to mark out, if you will. Sometimes we even mark out together. But today, wait a minute. Let's start with this first. Like, comment, subscribe, share. Did I get that part? Like, comment, subscribe, share. We're drinking 12-year-old Yamazaki single malt. And when we get to...
Not the 17.
Not the 17. Don't have the 17 yet, this entitled son of a bitch. 12-year-old Yamazaki, where's the 17? Oh, you want the 17 sherry cask? Would you like that?
Si, senor.
Yeah, I bet. But every time we do these shows, we have our location that we have to ourselves for the day, and we try to crank out 2 to 3 episodes, but we only crack one bottle. And as the episodes move forward, the line on the bottle goes lower. Look at that Suntory receipt. Nice, right? But here's why I'm bringing this up, because for you, the episodes get better as the whiskey disappears from the bottle. So we're on episode 3, which means we've consumed quite a bit of this Yamazaki. And
We've been drinking.
To quote Bill Murray and Lost in Translation, which I've done several times now, at least the whiskey works.
True statement.
What are you drinking? Put it down in the comments below. When you join us, do you join us with a drink in hand, knowing that we'll be drinking and you'll be in the mindset that I'm going to be drinking with my boys? Do you pack a bowl? Do you roll one up? If you don't imbibe or smoke, do you make a sandwich?
Yeah, what you eating?
You know, do you have anything that you like to do while you're listening to the podcast, other than work? We hear a lot of you like to listen to the podcast while you work. That's spectacular. It's unfortunate for you that you have to. But I'm happy that I'm able to help get you through work. You know? I just wanted to tell you about the whiskey consumption. And this is a later episode. The bottle has been hit pretty hard at this point. And so have we. Although the weed's worn off now, but that's okay because whiskey's in full effect.
Would you say that was South Pacific? What was it?
Northwest. Pacific Northwest.
Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, some of that Oregonian weed. Yeah. Although my pal, my hookup, he gets me really good stuff from Colorado, but every now and again I get that good Oregonian green. See, I have this philosophy that the Pacific Northwest is the greatest spot on the entire planet to produce cannabis. From Northern California, NorCal, that's what do they call it? You got all those mountains up there where they grow Eureka. I can't remember the name of the area. There's an area that's really famous in Northern California for weed. It's something county. It's killing me. You guys are going to know exactly what I'm talking about, and I can't remember right now.
Drop it in the comments.
Then you get up through Northern California, you get into Oregon. And Oregon is just known for its lush green parks and its space. Oregon. I'm plugged in with some people in Oregon from back in the day. Shout out to Bobby B, rest in peace. Shout out to Steve, I refuse to call you pimpin'. and then once you get past Oregon, you get up into Washington State, Seattle, you know, and Washington State is also a very green, luscious state, especially that strip right up, you know, North Cobb through the coast. Humboldt County, California, Humboldt County.
Boom.
There it is, at Humboldt County, baby. Yes, I've smoked it.
Before y'all could put it in the comments.
And then you get past Washington State, which also has some lovely cannabis. Lovely cannabis. You get up into Vancouver, British Columbia.
Okay.
BC Bud, the legendary BC Bud. At the Cannabis Cup, for several years, Oregon weed was winning the Cannabis Cup.
Cannabis Cup?
Yeah, you don't know about
the Cannabis Cup? I don't know about the Cannabis Cup. I don't know.
My partner's so square.
I don't know about the Cannabis Cup.
He's such a great family guy.
I just don't.
He raps about shooting and killing people, but
I don't smoke. That's it. Cannabis Cup. What did you do at the Cannabis Cup?
So in Amsterdam, for many years, they used to have a Cannabis Cup where different strains would be brought in from different places and different people would have an opportunity to sample, smoke, and you had guest judges, and, you know, Snoop Dogg and RVD,
right on.
And Cheech and Chong, and all of these, you know, advocates for cannabis. And this is back before it was cool publicly to smoke weed, you know, like counterculture type stuff. But the Cannabis Cup, where different strains would be introduced, people would smoke it, and then they'd crown like the winners of the different divisions. Oregon weed won a lot of cups, yeah. And I just think I've smoked weed virtually everywhere on the planet. Bitch, I smoked weed in Iraq. Yes, I did.
Couldn't they get head taken off or something, man? Or is that Dubai? They don't play that.
That's Dubai. But at the time, I was in Iraq when America occupied Iraq, tribute to the troops.
Okay.
And somebody made it made it possible for me to smoke some Iraqi grown cannabis, and it was good. I was really it was dope. I never smoked in Afghanistan though. I wanted to smoke Afghani Kush from Afghanistan. That didn't happen. But I smoked in Amsterdam. I smoked virtually everywhere in the world. And the true cannabis connoisseurs who know, who have smoked, who have been around, will tell you, on this entire planet, on whatever your god you choose to call is green earth, that little strip of real estate from Northern California up through the legendary British Columbia, BC Bud, that strip, that region, produces the absolute best cannabis on the planet. And I think it's maybe the climate, the weather. I'm sure it's a combination of a number of things coming together. But yeah, I stand by that 1,000%.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
I guess we were doing an intro, huh?
Yeah.
I hijacked that. And I'm not even high. That's it. I'm not high off. I'm just drinking at this point. It's the whiskey. So, yeah, we're back.
Yep, we're back.
What year is it?
Still 2025, but we're just 2 days away at this point from 2026.
The new year is coming.
The new year is almost
New year upon. Coming. New year coming. New year coming.
See, I know
new
that one. Coming. I know that one.
The new year, man, you know how lucky we are, like, to be able to walk into a new year.
Yeah,
see the new year.
Yep, great health.
You know what I hate about New Year's? New Year's resolutions.
But you gotta have, you of all people, you have so many goals. That's
yeah, but I have goals. I don't have resolutions that I make at the beginning of the year because I've been faking you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. No, no, you're not. You're just telling yourself that.
Right on, right on.
I've known a few gym owners through the years, and they said that the New Year's rush is when they do their biggest business. Because everybody got New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to put on size. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get in better shape. And a lot of these gyms have you got to put that card on file, and they charge you every month automatic.
I don't introduce myself to any of the new folks until March. Like, because I know what it is. They're going to be there for a few weeks, maybe days, and then they're going to fizzle out.
Dude, a gym owner, well, a few gym owners that I've befriended through the years have said that the people who sign up and don't use the gym are the people that actually pay for the gym. Mm. Because the people that sign up and use the gym is a percentage, a fraction of all the people that are signed up. And the psychology of it, they don't cancel because they're able to say, well, I'm still signed up. I can go next week.
Yeah, yeah. That's quitting.
But they never go. They never go. You don't go.
Yeah.
New Year's resolutions. Now, if you're somebody who actually makes resolutions and you follow through and you stick to them, that's different. But quick little story. I won't say his name, but one of the writers, who is now a senior writer, but back when he was an intern, he told me this last go-around at WWE. Mm-hmm. One day we were hanging out, and he told me, because back then, I don't want to sound like I'm throwing shade or speaking badly, but back then, the corporate culture at WWE was a very harsh one. And if you were a low-tier writer or writer's assistant, oftentimes you weren't treated very well. Yeah. And the turnover was quick. People would come in thinking like, oh, well, I got this cool job. And, you know, the way you were spoken to at times, the way people were treated, you saw a lot of turnover with writers. And, you know, it was ridiculous. And this now senior writer said that I said to him once, as we were working on something, he said that I told him, forgive me, I don't know your name. If you're still here in 6 months, I'll learn it.
Right on.
And I know his name very well now. And I wasn't being a dick, you know, just to be a dick, but like at so many times I'd meet people, hey, how you doing? You know, and I'd never see this guy again.
Right
you know?
On.
The turnover was, and it was a dickish thing to do. It really was. I didn't mean it that way, but it was just like, yeah, man, it was just that kind of environment. So, but we have each other's professional and personal respect, so that was cool. But yeah, I could see why. You just showed up. You just signed up for your New Year's resolution.
Like, no, I'm good. There's no need for all this right now. Let's give it a little bit.
I can't commit this much to you.
Yeah, no, because you're gonna want to talk and all this. No.
You got New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, actually, well, goals. I got a lot of goals, man, for 2026.
Goals, resolution. Yeah. I resolved to get my goals done this year.
So, thinking 2024, the goal was to drop, it's music related for me, of course. So 2024, the goal was to release 12 songs. And then going into 2025, I did accomplish, I think I did 15 or 16. But going into 2025, I was like, all right, I'm gonna go for another 12 or whatever. But then you had this idea for the podcast, and this takes so much time to be able to get this out to you guys weekly with Patreon, the social media, et cetera, traveling, everything involved. So 2026, I want to get back to getting these monthly releases going again. So that's my focus. A lot of my focus is going to be for 2026, get some music out monthly.
Well, I think it's pretty cool, and our fans here at the podcast, our regulars, I think would be very excited to hear an announcement of new Dwayne Swayze music.
Yes.
And if you're new, Dwayne Swayze is a spectacularly talented lyricist, hip-hop artist. My guy, I'm a fan.
Thank you, sir. Thank
you. Honored that we've had the opportunity to work together several times.
Yes. All right. The intro music to the show was the first time that we ever worked
first
together.
First collaboration.
Yeah.
And wasn't it magnificent?
Holla to the world.
Another day, another dollar. So holla to the world. That's dope, man. And you know what? I think it's cool. You know, if you see the opening, it's my song featuring Dwayne Swayze. In the outro, this Dwayne Swayze song featuring Smoke Dizza.
Oh, Smoke Dizza.
Smoke Dizza, who has the opening verse of the Hurt Syndicate theme song, We Hurt People, The Hurt Business. Smoke Dizza, Harlem legend, the Kushed God.
I love that dude, man.
He's cool as fuck, man.
Yeah. Really. And the commissioner, you the commissioner of Fourth Row?
Yes, I am. I am the commissioner.
Well, shout out to Smoke Dizza and West Side Gun.
The culture was better than Three Ropes. Four.
What about you, man? Any resolutions?
What about your station?
Yeah, what about your station, P? Any resolutions for 2026?
Oh, man, you know, I don't necessarily have resolutions. You know, I make goals. But I am time-oriented. Like, if I want to start doing something or stop doing something, I'll always give myself a date and say, okay, on this date, I'm going to start doing this. I generally don't do New Year's Day. I'm a brand new, New Year, new me. You know, I don't do all that. But I definitely do want to... I was supposed to have competed in a big jiu-jitsu match, but I had a health issue that I'll do an episode about later that caused me to have to pull. But the only thing, I mean, 2026, I really want to put as much work as we can. I mean, not that we don't already, but I want to continue to see this show grow. Money is settled into my new house. And I want to get some more sweat on my black belt. I want to try to get a couple tournaments or competitions in 2026. Once I clear up my little health issue, get back on the mats in competitive fashion, where I can get some competitive sweat on my black belt. But besides that, man, it's business as usual for me. Man. I got stuff that I want to do, whether it's a new year coming or not. I have goals set, so. But if you have New Year's resolutions, don't let me discourage you, please. Make them, follow them, but just be true. Be true to your resolutions.
And if you're in Houston, I'm at CrossFit Gone Strong in the Katy area. Sign up, but I won't talk to you until March.
Here's some incentives. You can see them, but don't say nothing to them until you've been there long enough that we know you're serious. That's actually dope. Man, it's a new year, dude.
Yeah, man.
The new year's coming up. We've had 6 months of marking out.
This is crazy. 30, I don't know where we are today. 34, I think, episodes.
34 episodes. How many of those episodes have you seen? How many of those episodes have you joined us for? Let us know in the comments below. And did I say like, comment, subscribe?
I don't think so. Maybe we should say it now.
Yeah, apparently we don't say it enough. Yeah. Like! Comment, subscribe, and please share this content with the people that you think would also enjoy it. Man, I guess Thanksgiving's gone, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the reception that this show's received. Mm-hmm. You know, our follower count is way up. Yeah. Our views have gone up significantly.
It's exploded.
Like, when we started this, it would take us about 6 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks to hit 100,000 views. And now we're doing that in the first few days. Yeah. Like, consistently, we're having 200,000 view weeks now, where it took us 6 weeks to get that. So thank you, all of you who are tuning in, who are watching.
Thank you, guys.
Subscribers, we appreciate you. Patreon subscribers, you know how much we appreciate you.
Hey, Hope. What up, Troy?
Mike. Gumbo Strong style. What else you got, man?
Can you talk to us about a New Year's Day in Tokyo?
Oh, I got
New Year's Eve in Tokyo.
Well, you know, the Wrestle Kingdom is a New Year's show, you know. So I would often fly out to Japan a day or two before. And I distinctly remember one New Year in Japan. Or was it the day before, or was it? I'm trying to think, because okay, my memory is a little hazy, but I don't know if it was Wrestle Kingdom or no, because I'm going a little foggy here, but I do have, in the words of Young Jeezy, I remember nights. I can't remember nights. Damn, they were crazy. I had to get it right. That I was in some nightclub in Roppongi, as a gaijin would be, And I met some cool-ass Japanese dudes, and some of them spoke English. They're really good English, too. And they invited me to go to some other place with them. And we ended up leaving Roppongi and going to Shibuya. And we were at some cool-ass club in Shibuya. And this cute, like really cute Japanese girl was with these guys. And we're drinking and having a good time. I don't even know these guys. I just met them, you know. And they're like, yeah, come hang out with us. Oh, pro des. Oh, pro des. I don't even think they knew MVP. Or maybe they did. I don't know. But what I do remember is this really cute Japanese girl who was with them. She just came up to me and she did this. And I'm like, what? And she said, pick. You pick. You pick. And I'm like, oh, okay. That one. She opens up her hand and it was an ecstasy. And I was like, all right, here we go.
Let the fun begin.
Here we go. Now, let me tell you, like, in Japan, they don't even play with drugs. Like, man, they are hard on cannabis. If you get caught with weed in Japan, you're going to jail. It ain't, we're going to pour it out.
Oh,
you
know? Word, okay.
Yeah. Ask my man Evan Bourne. He was on the old VIP Lounge podcast. Matt Seidel. Coming in, he got caught with some cartridges. And he spent, like, a month or 2 months in Japanese jail. Like, they had him in custody. Dang. And if I recall correctly, he was over there for, I think, maybe Dragon Gate he was there for. And Dragon Gate had to communicate with the police and work some kind of deal to get him out. And I think rather than him being deported right away, I think they let him work his dates because, you know, Dragon Gate was going to lose money, Japanese company. I might be fucking this up, but I think this is what it was. And then when they finished, he had to get out of Japan, and I think he's on the ban list. He can't go back.
Can't go back.
Oh. So, and Japan is crazy, right? Because, you know, the Yakuza, they control the drugs, but the Africans have moved in. You got a lot of Nigerians over there that they ain't afraid of no Yakuza. And they have their own organized crimes.
Oh, right on.
If you want weed in Japan, you got to know either somebody who's plugged in with the Yakuza, or you just got to know some cool Africans. So I was a little surprised that this girl had ex like that, you know, because they're not as openly cool about, you know, drug use and things like that. And, you know, this was before you had to worry about fentanyl and all that. But I took it. And we were already drinking or whatnot. And I remember that shit kicked in, and all of a sudden I was feeling like, oh man, you know, I don't usually dance, but I feel like dancing. Oh man, I wanna, hey, come here girl, come dance with me. Oh yeah, I'm dancing. And I got these little Japanese girls, I'm pulling them in, dancing with me. And I don't know how badly I was dancing, but that ecstasy had me feeling like I was fucking Chris Brown.
All right. You know?
I was Neo with the steps. Oh, I was moving all 260 pounds of me. Feeling like I was cruising on the dance floor. You couldn't tell me different. I was feeling magnificent. And you know there had to be something different about my energy, too, because a lot of the time, some of those little Japanese girls, they'll be scared of the gaijin, you know, the big, scary one. But just the way they were, I'd reach and grab them, and instead of them being there, oh, okay. Then we left that club, and we went to some other club. I don't even remember where we were. I don't know what time it was. I just know that all the world was right. And I just kept periodically doing this thing. Like when you use ecstasy, I'm not condoning its use for you. I'm just saying that I have. And I just remember you get this moment where you just, it's like a wave and you feel like this wave go through your body and like your head tingles and you just kind of go like, I don't know if they still make that kind of shit, but you know, I'm just there just, man, this stuff is good. And I don't know how many clubs we went to, man. I'm not sure. I remember nights. I can't remember nights.
So you out with strangers? Just taking
strangers. Taking, I don't know where that came from. She could have pulled that pill out of ass. I wouldn't
know. What, do you know any clue on what was in the other hand?
Whatever it was, she popped into my mouth.
Oh, she took the other one?
She gave me one, she took the other one. And then somehow the group I was with split off. And then I was with, I'm guessing the bad kids of that group. And we ended up back in Roppongi at some after-hour spot. And I just want to say that what I do remember of that night turned into a pleasant next morning.
Okay.
Ohayou gozaimasu. Mm. Ohayou. That means good morning.
Was it the lady with the X in her hand?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't her. It wasn't her. But I will say this. I give you younger people this bit of advice on the close of this story. Do not do as MVP has done. Do as I say, not as I do. Because it might sound cool in hindsight, you know, but when you wake up and you're in a strange hotel room and the first thing you do is reach to check for your wallet and your watch and you look over next to you and you go, oh, who the fuck is this? Yeah. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, it could have been a bathtub filled with ice.
And with no liver.
With no liver.
But that didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I have awesome stories to tell about waking up with strange Japanese women after a night being out doing drugs. Kids, don't do drugs. Drugs are bad, okay? I've lived a charmed life, man.
Facts.
I've lived a charmed life. Not a semi-charm kind of life. A charmed life. Unapologetically, too. Unapologetically. You live your life, I'll live mine. And if you want to judge me, feel free, Your Honor. Rolling on into the home stretch here.
Yes, sir.
Take it home. Take it home. That's a wrestling term for in the match.
Oh, getting low.
Oh, yeah. We'll fix that. On our way out the door, as we finish up. Oh, I got something. I got a little story about the finish.
The finish, okay.
Here, I'll give you a finishing touch.
10-4, thank you,
I'll
sir.
I'll take a finishing touch. The finish of the match is the most important part of the match. Who goes up, who goes down, how, the reason for it, why, you know, depending on the story of the match. And sometimes it's just a random match, no reason for it other than we compete, we wrestle, you know, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. I'm going to tell two stories and kind of put them into one, but... the finish is, you know, three people know the finish in the ring. You, the person you're wrestling with, and the wrestler. Mm. And they know how it's supposed to end. So they know when to count three. But there's been this thing where, you know, sometimes wrestlers, referees, the finish gets screwed up. And then they hesitate to count the three. And then, you know, that just blows,
yeah.
That blows everything,
yeah.
You know? Especially if that was supposed to be three and you don't, you know. But Chavo Guerrero and I, my good friend Chavito, Sally Boy, lie, cheat, and steal. We had a match in Dallas, I want to say. And it was for Jerry Bostick's World Class. And at the time, I don't remember who the champion of the promotion was. It was me or Chavo. And I think we had been kind of going back and forth with it for a little while. And that night, Chavo and I were trying to decide, like, well, we are in Texas, and Texas is Guerrero country. But I have been the champ here, and, you know, I'm pretty over with the crowd as a baby face, you know, what should we do? And I told Chavo, go ahead, man, you take it. And Chavo's like, nah, bro, no, you go ahead. And because, I mean, me and Chavo had been places and done things, you know, with absolutely no disrespect to Jerry and his company's title. You know, we weren't at a stage in our careers where, you know, I want to be the champ, you know, like, being the champ makes your bag heavy. You know, you got to carry that belt. And we were just, you know, we're boys and we're professionals. Like, you know, it doesn't matter who wins right here. If you want it or if you think it's more appropriate for you to get the win here, then take it. If it's on me, then I'll take it. And we did something that fucked our referee up completely.
Oh.
Because he was competent ref, but, you know, young. You know. And the ref said, okay, what's the finish? And we go, we don't know. Just count three. And he's like, what? See, yeah, we don't know yet. We're going to go out there and listen to the crowd. We're going to just kind of wrestle. And then we're going to call who goes up out there once we've had a chance to. So we decided we'll go into the crowd. We'll work. We'll wrestle. And we'll listen to, we will listen to the crowd and decide who should go up or down based on how the crowd's going. And it, I swear, it was almost like you could see the referee start to sweat bullets. Yeah. And like, dude, your job is to count three. That's all you're supposed to do. Even if you don't know the finish, you should know one, two, three. If they don't kick out, it's three. If they do, you stop yourself. And he actually said, so you guys are just going to decide who wins when you get out there? Yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to talk. We're going to go back and forth. We're going to have a great match. I'm going to tell him move on something. He's going to tell me get hit something. We're going to communicate. We're going to have a great match. And we're going to assess the crowd. And then we'll decide, no, I think you should take it. And once again, I don't remember who won.
Oh, Pete.
I can't remember.
That's what we're all waiting for.
I don't remember if I told Chavo to take it. And I think the one thing we did say, go up and hit the five star. If you hit the frog splash and you want to keep it, then I'll just stay flat. But if you want to switch it, then tell me to kick out. And I can't remember what happened, dude. I know he hit the frog splash. I just don't remember if we kept going or if I kicked out. I don't recall what happened. Or if he pinned me there or if I kicked out. I feel like we kept it going.
We got to get him on the show.
Oh, yeah. Man, Sally's been doing all kinds of stuff, man. He's working in Hollywood, stunt coordinating, acting.
Oh, word.
Yeah, yeah. Damn near any wrestling thing you see going on in Hollywood, Chavo's been, I think Chavo is like the wrestling choreography guy in Hollywood right now.
Nice. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he's
man.
That guy. He's been staying busy, man. I'm super proud of him. He's a good friend of mine. But that story bleeds over into when I first left WWE and we had a big show up in New York, and me and Matt Hardy were the main event of that show. And it was my first post WWE run indie show.
So this is before New Japan? No.
Before New Japan.
Oh, before,
I just,
okay.
Just like, you know, I hadn't signed with New Japan, but I had just gave the word that we worked out a deal that I would be going to Japan. And I want to say Matt may have been with Impact at the time. And maybe, I think just before, he hadn't too recently left himself. And we did the same thing, except this time it was a little different. I told Matt, hey, man, New Japan doesn't want me to lose right now. And Matt was like, damn, I'm kind of in the same boat. They don't want me to lose. I was like, damn. Okay, well, we got to have a finish. Somebody's got to be up and down. What should we do? Let's figure it out. And we did the same thing. Well, you know, let's go out and listen to it. Let's see what happens. And same thing, the ref goes, you're going to do what?
Yeah, that's stressful, man.
You're just going to decide who's going to win out there? Yeah. But this was funny because we hadn't laid it out a plan of action the way we did with Chavo. You know, if this happens, you know, we just said we're just gonna go out there and wrestle. I could wrestle Matt Hardy blindfolded in a snowstorm, you know.
Yeah.
And he me, because we were married. You know, we wrestled each other probably 100 times, man, if not more. You know. And we went out there and we had a great match. You know. Classic MVP versus Matt Hardy. And I remember we did something. I swear I feel like we did something where I got something on him. And I said, all right, partner, go ahead, you take it. And he reversed it on me. He goes, nope, you take it. And I said, no, man, it's on you. You take it. He goes, nope, you got it. And he put me up.
Oh.
And I know that ref had to be going,
Yeah.
So now in this situation, in real time, we're saying, no, you take the win. No, you take the win. No, you take the win. And neither one of us got any heat from our companies. And as I recall, the match was good. I don't think I've ever had a bad match with Matt Hardy, you know, some more memorable than others. But I just love the fact that you know, you can get to a level of professionalism with this art, the art in my profession. You can get so good that you don't have to spend 3 hours laying out every second of your match. You can actually listen to the crowd and be spontaneous and call it on the fly if you have the confidence and the skill set to do so, right down to the finish. We don't know who's going to win. We're going to go out there and see how the crowd responds, and we're going to decide in real time who goes up and who goes down. There's a beauty in that that most people will never really understand, you know? And I think it's kind of like, you know, it's cool, like if you're a freestyle rapper and you're in a cypher. Now, a lot of days, a lot of guys have stuff memorized on tap in their head. But if you're a guy that can really go off the dome, you know, and you're in a cypher with some other dudes and you see dudes spitting and you know you're next, and maybe you've got an idea where you're going to start. You might have an opening in your head, but you don't have your whole thing out.
Yeah.
You know, and whoever, you know, in his, you know, flow, you know, when I'm on the mic, I work hard. I'm never lazy. Now I'm going to pass the mic to Dwayne Swayze. It's on you, baby. Right, right. Go.
Immediately. Yeah, yeah. Right
go.
On,
right
on.
Spit.
Right on.
Spit that hot fire.
That hot fire.
Dylan, and Dylan.
Top five.
But now you're in the groove. Now you got to go.
Right.
And this is, you're live. This is real time. You know, this is the beat. And other people are waiting for you. And you got to.
But that comes with so many reps. And
reps.
And you and Matt Hardy, the way you guys came up. The young folks, or today's generation, they don't have that opportunity to get that many reps, man.
The live events, just the live event schedules aren't what they used to be. And it's kind of tough, too, to get those reps on indie shows, because you could be doing shit wrong, and there's not many people there to tell you, you know, to help you grow and get better on that level. And it's something else when you have live events with experienced veterans that can help you get better every night, and they'll show you how to get better. But there was the breaks, man. Show must go on, and then the evolution of what we do is, you know, it's changing. But I still say there's something to be said for knowing your craft so well, being so good at your craft, working so hard, that if the boss comes up to you and says, I need you and you, now go live. I'll tell you how much time once you get out there. That has happened. It happens. You got to go out there and wrestle a match. You don't even know how much time, because there's something else going on. And, you know, something else is being shot or done. And there's a time issue there. They need you to kill time. You don't know. They might say you're out there and you guys just got 2-3 minutes into it. And they're like, all right, take it home. We're good.
Thanks.
Yeah. Or they might, okay, you've been out there 4 or 5 minutes. And they go, all right, you guys got 13 minutes, you know. Well, you got to be able to, it's live, man. It's live television. And you got to be able to work without a net in this business. And I think a lot of young people today aren't really, really learning how to work for TV, because there's no place to learn for TV, you know? And it's unfortunate, but there's still the will to learn and the will to get better. And at the end of the day, you know, just don't fuck up the finish. Don't fuck up the finish. You can fuck up everything. Don't fuck up the finish.
That's what she said.
As we take it to the finish, this has been Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze. This has been 12-year-old Yamazaki. I am MVP.
I am Dwayne Swayze.
And with that note, I say, see ya, Space Cowboy.
Happy New Year.
All those sounds and all that creepy shit.
I just lay back in something new. Whiskey 21 and over low ball. Make it too neat, Dizza from Harlem. Yeah, I'm from Houston off of Fondren. Mike Mizanin, real world flow. Plant these seeds in the streets and in weeks, watch it blossom. Dark night, riding on chrome, swinging through Gotham. It's me and Pete, repaving these roads.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.